But right now it is time for Appraise This. That's right. We bring in the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. TQAG.com on the web. That stands for Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. And ladies and gentlemen, our quest to reach them in Florida begins right now.
Good morning.
Greetings.
Greetings.
Well, let me just give you very quickly the weather forecast here in sunny South Florida. Today, we're going up to... It's 48 right now, yes, and sunny, and we're going up to a high of 68 with no precipitation, mild winds at 9 miles per hour, and which means the humidity is at a perfect 57%.
Well, 48 degrees, I can tell you, you people down there got your winter coats and gloves out.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you kidding? When it gets to 70 down here, people start complaining, and they put on their Uggs. So...
Hey, you know, you guys are involved in collectibles a lot. Yesterday, something really interesting happened to me on the internet. Somebody notified me. Some people posted on the internet, and it's totally illegal, but I don't mind. Our family doesn't mind because there's no residuals. A lot of my dad's comedy albums and singles, and it was so cool to see. The various comments about records that were produced back in 1956 and 1960. It's just really wild to see something that means something to you and other people and people posting it on people posting it and saying, where can they get the record still and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
And how could they
You know, that's an interesting point because, you know, there is a place in New York, I'm pretty sure they're still open, where I bet you would be able to find classic comedy albums. But there's a place down in the village where all they do is vinyl.
And they're online, and I did. I bought one of my father's albums and one of my the single I'm a Roland. The single back then would have cost about 35 cents. I paid $15 for it. And the album would have cost about $1.60, and I think I paid $12 for it. But still, it was worthwhile to get.
So so they still are out there. And when you got, just out of curiosity, what was the condition when you got it? Were they
Great condition. Now, the album was still sealed in the plastic that it was sold in, by the way.
Oh, fantastic.
The 45 wasn't, but it was in great condition. No water damage. It was perfect. So the store, I forget what the store's name is, but they're a really great store. Yeah.
That's great.
They have become somewhat of an institution in the city, especially with the resurgence of vinyl over the past 10 years. You know, a lot of us kept thinking, oh, you know, records are gone. They're done. Nobody has a record player anymore. But now you can buy all of these things and you use USB ports to plug them in everywhere. So
right.
you can end up reconstructing your entire hi-fi system so that you can play your vinyl.
And from a collector's standpoint, I think vinyl has much more of an appeal than 8-track tapes.
And CDs, to be quite honest with you. It really does.
CDs.
But yeah. The CDs came after.
I mean, so it's pretty cool, but it's nice to see. And when you talk to people, when I started in radio, I had turntables that played 78s.
Right.
And people say 78s work.
Do you know that people actually don't know what that stands for? What's the 78? What's the 45?
They don't know what a 45 stands for.
Right.
33 and a third.
Yeah. 33 and a third.
Yeah, like it couldn't be an even 33. It had to be 33 and a third.
Well, those are radio people, and those are engineers, music people.
Right.
But then when you think about the other side of that, the sort of, what's it called? There are people who write code, and then there are people who just look at the pictures that the code has provided. And when you think about somebody... like George Martin, all right, who is a producer of the Beatles, and what he was doing with sound and with engineering. You think about the songs that you read, The Benefit of Mr. Kite, anything like that, Sgt. Pepper, the whole thing. You know, that is taking that let's call it coding information in quotes, and really playing with it and knowing what 33 and a third is, and if you make it slower or faster or this or that. And that seems to be so completely lost on the end user again.
Well, here's the funny thing.
Well, let me tell you something. I will tell you that something that's even more lost is when we moved into, I was in high school, and we moved into our big, we moved into what we call the big house. We had, we bought it from an elderly lady whose husband was a conductor for the Toledo Symphony at one point. And of course, they were somewhat of means, and they had some unusual things in their house. One of them is he had a machine that he could make cylinders to make the record cylinders.
Right.
And so she showed us that she actually made a cylinder for us while we were looking at the house. And they had their daughter was an opera singer, and so they made all of these cylinders of Betty singing various arias. And there was no speed on those. There was no 45. There was no 33 and a third, no 78. They were one speed and one speed only. And when they get to the end, if you weren't finished, you had to put on another cylinder. So some of them where part of the aria was on one cylinder. And if you wanted to hear the rest of it, you had to put on another cylinder.
Right.
That's how far technology in such a relatively short period of time advanced to the point where we thought in the 90s when CDs came out, that was going to be the end of vinyl. And it was for about 10 years. And then all of a sudden vinyl people started getting rid of all of their equipment. And they thought, well, what am I going to do with all of these great jazz recordings that I've purchased over the years? So then they started, rebuilding their systems. And now all of the genres that are out on vinyl now, you can actually still get re-releases of, or if you go to the place like Marshall went to, you can get some of the most amazing recordings ever laid down on vinyl. So there are times that I miss all of my opera collection. But if I just didn't want to have a place to store all that stuff. And that's the biggest problem with vinyl, was the storage.
Yeah. I'm more caught on, one of the biggest giveaways in life is the minute that someone announces such and such is over. It's when because I so remember, oh, no one wants vinyl. No one's going to listen.
Well, CDs are truly over. People at least collect vinyl, because CDs have been replaced,
yes,
of course, now by a better CDs only lasted about 12 years. That's it. You know, bingo.
Right.
And the other thing, that we should probably talk some more about at some other time is how disposable, I mean, you have a generation that unless they are grounded in the arts, the visual arts, antiques, the their actual things, think that there's no reason to have the things, and really think that a picture of that thing, and again, this is unless you are in that field, is a perfectly reasonable substitute.
Well, we have become a totally disposable society over the past 20 years.
Yeah.
And which is one of the reasons, as collectors who would collect porcelain, for example, dishes, these beautiful china sets that would belong to a great grandmother. First of all, you can't put it in the microwave. You can't put it in the dishwasher. If it breaks, it takes too long to find a replacement. So what do? You go to a Pottery Barn and you buy 8 plain white plates. If one breaks, you throw it away and you go buy another one. And that works. And that has worked against what we as collectors believe in. And I honestly, CDs, for example, I do not believe that CDs will ever become as valuable as some of the vinyl, because collectors look for specific things with vinyl that you can't get on a CD. And there were so many hundreds and hundreds of thousands of CDs that were produced when songs and artists started using them, that there's never going to, the rarity is never going to be there like there is for a Brubeck vinyl recording that was made in the 60s that you can't get anywhere anymore. So I think vinyl will always hold its value as a collectible, as well as just as a genre of collecting, not so much for the collecting aspect, but for the artistic aspect. Where CDs, on the other hand, I think you're right, Marshall. They're over, they're done with, and you know, people just throw them away.
Now, Tim and Greg, you'll appreciate this story. It's staged, of course, but it was still a good story about on that show where they out in Las Vegas, where they have the secondhand shop. The owner had a Bob Dylan album, and he sent a guy out because Bob Dylan was appearing at the MGM just to get his autograph. And when he got the guy's autograph, he had him make it out to his boss. And when he brought it back, his boss said, "It's worth nothing now. I just wanted his autograph." He said, "Nobody wants this album now with my name on it. They would love to take it with his signature on it. Geez, thanks for nothing."
Yeah, knows. And it's what people don't know about. No, really and truly, that's the part that fascinates. But also, I found, speaking of China, which is, I guess, you know, totally unpopular, I was looking at a piece of china that was my grandmother's is absolutely beautiful. It's just, my point in all of this is, in the disposability, we might be missing the beauty.
Right.
Well, that's to use the air quotes, progress. I mean, when people today everything is so immediate. We're such an immediate society that you don't even stop to think about what's going to happen in the future. When these items came to the market originally, the thought was not just to give somebody a beautiful wedding gift that they can build their china collection on, but the thought behind it was that this will be passed on to the next generation. It's a totally different thought process over the past 20 to 30 years. And once you take that link, that one link about passing it on to the next generation out of the equation, that's how we became a disposable society. And it's just going to continue until somebody breaks that link.
All right. Well, I'm sorry I hijacked the show this morning.
Oh, you didn't. You didn't. At all. That was terrific. That was great. That was great. That's great. Because I've actually heard a couple of your dad's albums before I knew who he was. And of course, you've heard me say that I used to watch him all the time on Ed Sullivan. So that's terrific. That's a great thing to know that they're still out there, and I'm even more excited that the record place is still open in New York. So so vinyl. that's the way to the future.
All right. All right, guys. Stay warm.
Hey, have a great week.
All right. Stay warm down there.
Yeah, okay. You too. Take care.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Right. Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, TQAG.com on the web.